So welcome to the October 7th use case realization call. We have here today, we're meeting with Chakar on talking about the release cadence model, which is being considered for release 8. It will likely also be discussed at the DDF next week as well, I think. I think there's some discussion about RA planning, certainly. And anyway, it has been presented at previous DDFs, and hopefully some of the people that he's been collaborating with, Liam and Christoph Opasiak and Brian, will join later on. But I'm going to, because Chakar is potentially short on time here, I'm just going to let him dive right into it and go ahead. So if you want to share something, go ahead.
Yeah, well, just give me 1 second, if you would, please.
And just as a, while he's looking, just as a note, there's no meeting next week due to the DDF happening October 13 to 15. If you haven't yet, you should probably register and check out the event. I just saw that the schedule is currently being worked. There is a final sort of draft, but it's not public yet, but I expect it to go public by the end of the week.
Okay. Thank you, Ben. Let me see who's on.
Okay, others will usually join as we go. So yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll go ahead and get started. And let me join. I'm on the call. Can you enable the screen sharing, please?
Oh yes.
Okay. Sure. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
It says host disabled participant screen sharing.
Oh,
I'm not the host, right? No.
I made you code host, so.
Okay, let me try.
That's weird.
Okay, I'm still unable to share.
Asked to start video. Is that what that works? No. No.
How about if I
I think I know what's going on.
Okay.
You're in two.
I'm in two different. Yeah,
two different something. So probably I made the wrong one to co-host.
Okay.
Try again.
Okay. Do it now. Yeah. Better. Thank you. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yeah, thanks, yep.
Okay, let me make sure that I at least I'll give you a background as to how this thing, the whole thing started, and I believe that some of you may be familiar with the topic. The whole issue about release cadence started just about this year when we were in Europe, ONS or the VTEC, a get together in Europe last year. And the reason for it is because there was a sort of backlog or not an efficient way of introducing the new features within the ONAP community, and especially as it relates to non-functional requirements. And what I mean by non-functional requirements, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, the non-functional requirements are the requirements that are related to infrastructure security, enhancements to the development, and so on and so forth. So these were features that potentially or initially were taken for granted. They were addressed by the PTLs based on as need basis. And then we got to a point where they had become an issue or a gating factor. And specifically speaking, when we started to upgrade to Python 3.x, I believe it was 3.7, and the Java 11 upgrade. And that's when we really realized that we need to do something about addressing the non-functional features. So I created a task force, and we had, initially we had quite a few participants, but basically what it came down to is four of us or five of us that got together on a weekly basis for almost 8 weeks and tried to define what is the best way or the best approach to move forward with ONAP in addressing, while addressing the functional features as well as the non-functional features, right? When I started the task force, I was under the impression that it should be done in a certain way. And then when I started to listen to Liam, Christoph, and Brian, and obviously they're one of the key developers and architects within the ONAP community, I realized that the the way I was thinking about release cadence may not be the most efficient way, right? So we went off and we all put together a proposal. Christoph and Liam were the leads, basically, in the way the proposal was initially created and reviewed and presented. Brian had significant amount of input, and Brian actually agreed to the path moving forward. And then early this year, we started socializing the proposal, and it really has been going on since early spring of this year. We presented it at quite a few technical meetings. We presented it at the TSC call. We presented it at the PTL calls. And we keep on presenting it at all different forums, trying to make sure that everybody is aware of what the proposal is all about. And then what you see over here is basically I don't want to call it tentative, but a beta version of what the proposal is for the Honolulu release. And that's what, is on the wiki, as you could see over here. You could find it on the wiki. You could take a look at it. You could review it yourself and trying to understand the more gory details. But what I'd like to do in the next 5 minutes or so is just walk you through the intent, if you will, of the approach of how we should be handling releases as we move forward, right? So that's a little bit of history, and now I'll get to the punchline. The way we do the features today is you have a functional feature, functional requirement, and that functional requirement is sponsored by a company or set of companies, and these companies will dedicate the resources to just do the functional requirements. But there are no resources to help the PTL with the non-functional requirements and the infrastructure upgrades. So what this proposal does is it decouples features and the features life cycles from a release life cycle. So for example, if I have a feature, and that feature is, the way we do today is the view of a functional feature is a holistic view per release. We start the feature at the beginning of the release, and we have to deliver the feature at the end of the release. What we're saying over here is perhaps it shouldn't be that way, especially if you have a feature that requires resources and these resources are not available for one release, right? Or you don't have enough resources to address it with in one release. What we're saying over here is the following. If you have a feature, you could find the resources, and within the resources that you're finding, you need to also address the resource needs for addressing the non-functional features, including the upgrades, the infrastructure upgrades. And then if you are, when we get to a RC0, if that features is ready to go into the next phase, which is the release contents, you know, phase zero, then that's fine. If not, that feature is never committed into that release and will move over to the next release, and it'll go through the same milestones for the next release until the entire feature is addressed, including functional and non-functional. And then when it is ready, then it gets committed to, gets pulled into the master, if you will, release. And now it becomes part of that release, whatever that release is. So the point over here is you commit to a feature, but the feature is not committed into the release until all the resources and all the assumptions, if you will, including all the work that is required to address the non-functional features related to the functional feature, are addressed and the resources are allocated and the PTL or the PTLs feel comfortable that this feature is going to be delivered holistically complete to the integration team. So think of it as you have the releases moving, and then you have the features that are being slotted within the release. But when you get to the RC0, right now, the way it is we almost have to stop the entire release in order for everybody to catch up in case you have a feature that has not been able to make it or to complete at the RC0 timeframe. What we're saying today is you let the release go and you let the feature basically move on to the next release. And when they're ready, then they'll commit the code. We'll do the testing, and that feature will be deployed into production. The one thing that is...
That's been a big thing in each release is the overhead of proposing and, you know, going to the requirements and architecture. So in this proposal, if a use case spans multiple releases, how is that handled? You just present once and then you track it increments, or how what's the approach here?
If it goes from one release to another, you said, if it spans multiple releases?
Well, like, for example, you know, some features, for example, like NN network slicing is a humongous thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, its overall use case is sort of a cogent concept. But with each release, you're adding incremental improvements on it. So in this model, but you know, one of the things is, of course, with every release, there's a lot of overhead in scheduling and presentations about what's happening in this release. Would that still mm-hmm. happen, or would that not happen?
I guess I'm trying. Well, so again, if you take a look at the proposal, this is just a proposal, and we need to work out all the details as we go through the proposal. The release cycle that we're talking about in this proposal is not a 3 or 4 month release cycle. We're talking about code drops every 4 to 6 weeks. So it changed the mindset in terms of whether the feature is available today or the feature will be available 4 weeks from today or 6 weeks from today. The high level framework of this is that you develop the feature, you start developing the feature, you reach a milestone within a specific release where either the feature is ready or the feature is not ready. If the feature is ready, that's fine. It's business as usual. If the entire feature is not ready, then you basically move on to the next release and you don't commit your changes into the master branch up until that feature is completely ready, right?
So follow up on what Ben was asking, I think, you know, mm-hmm. since a lot of these things are huge, you know, use cases and things, it makes sense. I think we've all done it in the past that we sort of break them up into consumable bits and pieces. And so, mm-hmm. You know, for instance, whether it's slicing, can you have sort of slicing increment 1 that gets done in, you know, in the H release, and then you can add new, but it's consumable as that one increment's consumable as it is, and then add more capability to that in the I release and more in J and so on? Or do you have to sort of look at the entire slicing and say we're delivering slicing as one piece and it might be three or four releases down the road?
Well, so this is a good example. Let's assume that at least from an on-app perspective, there isn't any component or any feature that is totally self-contained, right? So you can't say, you know, I'm delivering something in the SDN controller that is so specific to a feature or to a release, right? What you're talking about, though, Scott, if I understood your comment correctly, there will be cases where the code that you're implementing, let's assume that there is a use case that could span multiple phases. I don't want to call them the releases, because if we have a release every six weeks, then sense. You know, you're talking about within, you know, 3 months that the feature will be deployed. But let's assume that the use case that you talked about impacts, and I just want to oversimplify it, SO and the SDN controller. SO can support the code in this release, but SDN controller can support it in the following release. We're not saying that SO should not deploy these incremental changes that they've implemented to support the use case. We're saying deploy it, but flag to the integration team that that feature is incomplete, so they don't have to waste time testing it. And then in the following iteration, which happens to be 4 to 6 weeks later, when the SDN controller is ready, now the feature can go through the full integration testing.
Right.
That, I don't know that, if I answered your question.
That makes sense. I think we're talking about lots of different things here, and so it makes it a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, first off, you know, like each code drop versus what's actually released to the public is one thing.
That's right.
And then also, you know, because some of the use cases that Ben's doing now, some of the ones in Swami and the ones I've supported in the past, they're very complex. And so we don't ask, in your example, SO and SDC to do all the pieces all at the same time. We might ask them to coordinate on a couple steps that will work together that makes sense for that, you know, users. It's easy for users to take advantage of that at the end of a public release. Mm-hmm. So let's just do that for H. And then in I, we're going to add a few more features to that makes it a little bit more usable. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so I'm assuming that would still go on because it
that
makes
would still
sense.
Go on. Yeah.
And then the piece that you're talking about is fantastic. You know, it's not an all or nothing drop, right? You can,
yes.
You're putting things out there, but they can easily be turned on and off so that it doesn't mess up everybody else's, it doesn't
exactly.
impact everybody else's use cases.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And right.
I want to give you,
that's good.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to give you a real life example. In this press release in Guilin, right? And I may be getting the details, you know, overlooking some of the gory details, but Dentimony needed support resources to do the Oracle upgrade. But Sishu couldn't find the Oracle upgrade, these resources to do the Oracle upgrades, right? So Dan moved on and applied these resources to do the Oracle upgrade. I mean, sorry, the Java, the Oracle upgrade to, no, so Java upgrade to 11, right? And then Sishu had to wait until the Honolulu release to do that, right? So you could move them as independent just because you had the resources for a short period of time, because you'll never line up all the resources, especially to address the non-functional features in one release. So you do it in one release when you have the resources. The other components would do it in the next release when they have the resources. Now in the third, you know, at the tail end of the next release or the second release, you have the non-functional features addressed as well as the functional features addressed. So now you have a holistic view of the release, complete release being deployed into production. because again, back to the point that I made earlier, from a functional release, from a functional perspective, companies were sponsoring the resources to address the functional requirements, but no resources were allocated to address the non-functional requirements. And that was a big gap for us. Doing so would allow us to address both, and at the same time, it sets the stage for future releases being a lot shorter in time. I'll bet they will have less features. However, it allows the releases to move independent of whether features are functional features or functional requirements are implemented in this release or in the next release. And I should call it in this drop or the next drop, because we now no longer wait in 3 months or 4 months. We wait in either 4 to 6 weeks for the next drop.
Right. But it's 3 months before things are released out to the public, right? You still only make three public.
Yes. To your point though, right? I mean, now, and this is the discussion that we've had with Catherine, right? Now it becomes a little bit more challenging to promise, if you will, set of features to be delivered at a 3 month or 4 month interval, right? Because you really don't know what's going to be at the release up until you get to the RC0 timeframe and figure out exactly which feature is ready, which feature is not.
I like it. It does seem like it's much more dynamic and what could be in a release. And maybe we need a new word like a sprint or a drop or something that represents what you're currently calling a release. And then what Scott said is maybe you change the different word to of the, you know, marketing, whatever product launch thing. You know, basically you have a set of, you have an interval that's the shorter interval and that feeds into the larger interval, which is an actual product that you can release to the public. And that shorter interval, whatever you call it, a drop or a sprint or whatever, can deliver certain pieces of things. And then at the end of a set of those, you pick and choose the things that are ready to go into the market launch thing, the mega release versus the mini release. You know, this is great. I like the idea. I think it requires a lot of socialization like you've already done, but still a lot of people have not heard about it yet. So
yes, it's unfortunate, right? Okay, sorry.
I had one comment, Chakar. So it also means that there should be some kind of gatekeeping that has to be done by the functional requirement or the use case owners, right, Chakar? Because for the example that you just took, right, a simple example where we have an impact in SO and SDNC. Let's assume that the SO part of the work is completed in this release, but unfortunately, SDNC work could not be completed in time for this release. So then from the use case point of view, somebody has to ensure that even though the code in SO is merged onto the master branch and it goes ahead with the release, there should not be any issue to other use cases, and there should be a backward compatibility ensured because the SDNC is still not yet upgraded to the new code. So this is something the PTLs cannot take care of because they will be concerned about their own components and probably the interfaces that they support. But somebody has to, do a kind of a gatekeeping. And obviously, one way of strengthening it would be to increase the level of automation that we have at a use case level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The feature sponsor, as well as the project manager, for example, David, would have to be well aware of with the new process, and we would have to track feature completion, if you will, slightly differently than we do today, right? No question about it. But just to take your example, Swami, right? In today's environment, if we want to implement all the required changes in both SO and the STN controller and wait until they both have resources, that feature would have to be delayed quite a bit in order for us to line up the resources for both. Your example is a perfect example. If we were in, let's call them drops for now. If we were to make drops every 4 to 6 weeks, SO implements the changes in the first drop, SDNC implements the changes in the next drop. Now, 2 months later or 2.5 months later, the feature is up and running, or at least is ready to go into full integration, just because they were, the changes were implemented in phases based on the level of resources that was available in each and every release cycle or drop cycle, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm definitely in support of the idea, Chakra. I think it's a great way to go. It's just that we need to take care of certain things like the dependencies, right? That at some point, we should have also the requirement or the functional, the use case owners to take up that responsibility to ensure that they don't break anything in the base, Chakra, because we still have to improve further on the automation for the use case. Until that materializes, I think this should be the responsibility that the requirement owners should carry.
Yep, I agree. Okay. Any more comments or questions?
So yeah, what do you see as the architectural things that people have to do with each drop that are now only done with each release, that what we're calling the mega release? Are there other architectural points that now need to be presented or considered or done with each drop? Do you see?
So I'm thinking through it, right? But I'm thinking through it from, at least in my mind, that once we all agree on this framework, right? And this framework, keep in mind that this framework may not be able to implement it in one release or one drop or two drops, probably. Perhaps it will take us until early next year, right? My plan is going to be to attend all the requirements reviews for all the upcoming releases and actually formulate a view in terms of, and ask the questions about how can a specific feature can be broken up into drops, if you will, so that we break the interdependency or interdependencies between all the components, right? So it's a different mindset to think of it. And we need to start to ask the question about how, and if you recall, Ben, I think I started asking the questions about how non-functional requirements are being addressed in each and every component, right? Because that's critical. And that's when, if you recall, that was when Dan Timoney mentioned that he was able to negotiate additional resources in SDNC to address some of the non-functional requirements as part of that release cycle or drop cycle, right? So it's regardless of how good the plan is, if we don't socialize it correctly and make sure that everybody understands the expectations, I think we would not achieve its potential. So it has to start from the requirements, from when we review the requirements, and then carry it forward to the architecture so the PTLs have a clear view of what's related and what's not related, what can be deployed independent of the rest and what has to be, tightly coupled with the rest of the features implemented at all different levels of or different components. So it's not going to be, I want to caution, right? We're not going to get it right from the first time, but I think we have to do diligence upfront to make sure that the PTLs understand how to architect their software to make sure that a feature that spans multiple drops can be implemented safely, right, and effectively in multiple components and in multiple drops.
Yeah, for me, it feels like there needs to be increased engagement from the architecture subcommittee just because, you know, you have to understand better how you can modularize the development so that you can, you're not breaking stuff with every drop, right? So that's kind of what Swami is saying. There's some coordination between these drops of, I think many, many more things are going to span multiple drops just by the nature of how short these cycle of these drops are. So you're probably going to need to have the PTLs and the use case teams plan.
I mean, the worst case scenario, right? Sorry. You take the worst case scenario. You start the feature at the beginning of the year. You deploy it in production at the end of the year. Right.
Well, that's not even a worst case scenario. I mean, if you look at plug and play, I've been working on since release 2, and Swami and others have been working on the slicing since about that time too. So I mean, you know, these span years of
So plug and play, right? If we were to, and this is actually a perfect example because you're very much involved in it, right? If you go in with the expectations that you're going to basically propose features, incremental features that go into each and every release that would allow you to create the building blocks to put the feature together at the tail end of the cycle, and you may not have a sight of what the end date is because you don't understand what resources would be available. However, you would know each and every building block that was created that would allow you to get to the end state when all the resources are available. So you don't have to go back to SO and say, oh, by the way, did you implement, or ANEI and say, oh, by the way, did you implement the...
Yeah, it's a different mindset, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but just to go back to the point that I was trying to make earlier, plug and play would still, you know, there are consumable bits of it, you know, even though Ben's been working on it for the past 3 years, it's still, there are bits of it that are usable today. So he wouldn't just be building this and would have it all available, you know, 2 years from now when it's finally finished.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, you got to be sure that they're built in these consumable bits that these usable bits that are available at each major public release.
Right. And I also think about and code in those usable bits too. I think that's something that I think maybe we're not so much in the mindset of yet. So the way we've done it, I mean, at least with the way we started plug and play, is I kind of designed the entire thing, you know, the vision of the grand, here's everything. And then we kind of said, let's do as much as we can. And then we see how far we get. And then, you know, and then there's bugs and stuff that comes up. Say, okay, this can't make it. And then there's a scramble because there's a deadline at event 4 and RCX. And then we say, okay, this chunk couldn't make it. Let's push it out. So that's kind of how we do a lot of our features right now.
All
right.
So, I've done the same thing in scaling. Swami's done the same thing in slicing. Yeah. We all start off with this grand vision and we think we can get the whole thing done in one release. And then reality hits you in the face.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Right. But just plug and play is a perfect example, right? Like, for example, if a DCAE had the resources, I'm just making up an example, right? To basically implement the feature, the discovery API, right?
The PRH.
They would have implemented it, you know, 6 months ago, right? You wouldn't have tested it, but it wouldn't have impacted anything. You would do the entire testing when all the components, or when you as a sponsor feel that you have enough functionalities, it might not be complete, but you have enough functionalities to trigger RC0 so that the integration team can start testing some of the components that you think provide some value. And you come back and you add to it and so on and so forth. But if you were to implement plug and play in one release, it would never happen. Just because, not because people don't want to do it, just because there won't be enough resources.
Yeah, some projects are at a, you know, there are actually a number of use cases and things that are of a, such a size that they just would never have fit in one release anyway, like now we're slicing, plug and play, and so forth.
So I also think that, and I think this was touched on a little bit, that there's going to have to be a lot more coordination, not just from the architecture level, but from use case owners, you know, for every, you know, on those 4 to 6 week drops, that, you know, because the PTLs aren't necessarily going to know all the interdependencies. It's the use case owner that does all the coordination across projects. And they're going to have to sort of track that and say, when is this consumable bit able to be, you know, let go and tested in a real drop?
Yeah.
And so somehow we got to track those things and build those increments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are now, we used to build increments at the release, you know, at the public release level. Now I think the use case owner has to build those increments at the, you know, frequent drop intervals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because the way we do it today is we get to RC0 and we say, well, I just still have three components missing from this use case. So what should
the use case owner could try? I mean, that was once every release they had to go through and pull that together.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be 3 or 4 times a release that they have to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like I said, it forces a different mindset of thinking of how you think about creating subcomponents within your use case, right? Now you start thinking about, I need to create 4 different subcomponents or building blocks that can be deployed independent of each other. And yet when all the pieces are together, now I trigger the integration testing to start the certification testing, right? So I call them sponsors within the architecture subcommittee for a reason, because as a sponsor, you have to have the overall understanding of what this feature, your feature is all about, and how it impacts each and every subcomponent.
Yep. I think, so what you call a sponsor is what we've always just called use case owners.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think another interesting thing too is, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I like the concept. It's just, we got to recognize the chain. I never fully, having heard this several times, I never really fully thought through the changes that would have to be made at sort of the work that Ben and Swami and myself have traditionally done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is also a more conversational discussion than a lot of times in these other ones. They're very lecture oriented. I think, and then so we're getting a little bit more of a deeper dive into it. But also, as I think about it, the way we track stuff too with JIRAs, maybe that might have to change too, or how. Because basically we kind of tag requirements, and so, I don't know, it feels like the way we use JIRAs will also change too, because if you look at how David McBride tracks their whole release, he tracks the sort of what we're calling the mega release level. He doesn't really track at a sort of drop level.
So is that going to have to, are we going to have finer grained tracking dashboards?
Right.
Well,
right.
Yes, he's been very much involved in the discussion, and he realizes that there will be some impact in terms of how he tracks the drops versus the releases. And then he has to make sure that he understands when all the components are there for a specific use case or a specific feature that's going to trigger the start of RC0 for the entire feature, not the subcomponents. Yeah.
So Shocker, are the drops, does this make it so it's easier to set the drops in stone as well as the release dates, so that we don't have to have these ongoing discussions about, you know, have we met RC0 yet or not?
Every week at the TSC, like an hour at the TSC is spent talking about that.
Does this make it so that it's much more clear as to what's in and what's out for each drop and for each test cycle?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think so, right?
So we shouldn't slip as much as what we slipped in the past.
Well, it becomes a decision point, becomes a question, right, and an answer. Are you ready for this drop? If not, move on to the next one. There is no in between.
Right.
Let's assume let's assume that the drop is every 4 weeks. I'm advocating 6 weeks, but 4 weeks is fine. And, you know, it doesn't really matter. But let's assume for the sake of this discussion, every 4 weeks. The question gets asked every 4 weeks, are you ready? Is your feature ready? Right? If it is, then it goes into that drop. If it's not, there's no discussion about moving it out by a week or 2 weeks or wait or whatever it is. If you don't make it this in this drop, you wait until the next drop.
So unless it becomes the last drop in the release,
exactly.
And we have required things that need to make it in there.
But you could see the discussion, right? The discussion today is, are we ready? You go, no, then let's move the release date by 2 weeks, right? We give it 4 weeks. So we wait 2 weeks and we come back and we say, we're still behind another week. So we move it another week. Yeah. The future discussion, the way I foresee the discussion going is your code ready for this drop, which happens to be this month? No. Then you wait until next month.
So just to step it up a level, I'm sure you guys have had the discussion. Why have you decided to break it into a hierarchy like that? Why not just have a release at every drop?
Well, I mean, in a way, you do have a release every drop, right? If your cycles are so small, right, that the integration test team, the integration cycle. Let's say when we say a drop, that drop is ultimately going to be tested and it's going to go into production. So you will have incremental changes going into production.
So why do we have this artificial thing of, Honolulu consisting of three or four drops? Why not just say, our release cycle is every four or six weeks?
This goes back to the point that I made earlier, right? I mean, the struggle between the TSC and the mindset today is that we advertise what we're going to be deploying at three times a year, right? The way we're saying it is that you only know what the contents are after they've been deployed, because you may realize that there is a feature that didn't make the drop and we have to move it to the next drop. It's a different mindset, not only in the development from a development perspective, but it's a different mindset in the way we advertise,
market it,
what the community is going to deliver every 3 months or every 4 months.
I think to really answer Scott's Scott's point though, you really have to ask from a philosophical standpoint, what's the difference between a mega drop and a micro drop, right? Or what's the difference between a release and a drop? And I think really the only thing is the sort of marketing stuff from MR Kapadia and so forth, and the Linux Foundation marketing and the product launch of a release, what we currently call a release. Yeah. In my mind, that's the main difference between the things. So maybe, you can probably achieve what Scott's suggesting, call everything a drop, and just say every third drop we have our marketing, there's an extra step in that third drop. Yeah. And you can call it, drop prime or, whatever, give it a special name if you want, but essentially that's what we're doing.
Yeah, so exactly.
So technically everything the same between a release and a drop. It's just the marketing side and advertising side, and that is the only difference that we have.
I think.
For Honolulu.
Well, so my thinking of the only example I could give you is the way Apple does their releases. Apple gives you fixes every 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, doesn't really matter, right? Once a year, they have a major release, right? They go from 13 to 14 once a year. They don't do it during the middle of the year. Every drop after the September, October release of their major release is enhancements to the existing release. They add features, but very incremental features. But the heavy lifting of the features, right, and the major features are introduced once a year, right? That was my thinking going into this discussion, right? But then we modified it slightly based on the feedback from the developers, where they want to be able to address major features that span multiple drops, if you will, during a you know, the annual time frame. I mean, they don't want to wait until the end of the year, right? And I kind of agree with them, just because of the needs of the community. Apple can do whatever Apple wants to do just because they control the market. We don't have that luxury. But think of it as every 3 to 4 months, we may end up with what we call today a release, but that release is not going to wait for a predetermined feature to finish to deployed with that release. If that feature is not ready, it's going to have to be moved to the next drop. And again, to make it clear, in today's environment, the way we, as soon as we get to RC0, we start asking, is everybody ready? Anybody's not ready, then we have to hold up the entire release, right? Until that component or that specific, you know, subcomponent is ready. Tomorrow, we get to RC0, you're ready, you go in, you're not ready, you move on to the next drop.
Yeah, I've heard this called, I don't know if this is a standardized thing, but I've heard that called the kind of like the train model. So you either hop on the train when it's, arrives at that station, or or you catch the next train.
Exactly.
And that train model of management is sort of the project management is the sort of model we're talking about here, where, you know, the train has a certain amount of content, and when it leaves the station, you determine it. And, you know, if something can't make it, it just gets off and waits for the next stop to arrive.
Most of the open source development efforts are done that way, right? You don't wait for anybody. If you're not ready, it's not like you're left behind, but if you're not ready, then you get on the next stop.
Yeah.
And you get on the next stop. So you don't wait for everybody. You just make a decision, take a snapshot of where you are at each and every milestone, which happens to be every month, every 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Whatever you're ready goes in. Whatever is not ready waits until next month. You're not waiting until the next release. You only miss it by a month, right? And if you're not ready, you miss it by another month. But you have the opportunity to add your features. You don't have to wait 3 months anymore or 4 months. You wait a month, and now you're back. You're back on track, if you will.
No pun intended.
yeah, exactly.
So for me, there's three main things that I think speed bumps, or have to be thought about. I think there are some things that don't really easily lend themselves to this sort of train model, or need either some special attention or some special way of handling it. The first is we've already talked about, and that is that the sort of marketing package, the mega release, right? So that doesn't easily lend itself to, so all the marketing work of I wouldn't expect to happen with every drop. it could happen with every drop, and again, all of these things that I'm about to mention could happen, yeah, I suppose, with every drop. The second is the documentation. I guess you could do that with every drop, but there's so much overhead with the way we do documentation and read the docs right now. That would be a huge onus to have them be done at every drop, sort of this incremental update. And that might be fine for some people, but I think for others, they're going to really balk at that. And the third is the actual, the big use case proposal. So I think what I kind of see is, you know, you might propose this is what we're doing in this drop, but I think the way we think about the projects, as you're sort of saying, like you might have the big use case, and then you might try to decompose that use case into, you know, minimum viable product 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and then you sort of propose each of those minimum viable products with each, or deliverable with each drop, and you sort of think about the decomposing your thing. I mean, each of these has some sort of solution, but I think they need thought, you know, like the marketing, the documentation, and the overall proposal are, at least those are the things I can think of that that maybe are things that at the moment don't seem to easily fit into this sort of train model without some sort of special handling.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so I was just saying, I think, you know, maybe you need some special thing to mention what's happening on those in this page or this proposal. You have to, people are going to ask constantly, how are you handling, you know, proposals, or how's the product release launch handled, or the marketing stuff handled, and documentation?
Yeah, I think they're fair, all good questions, right? I think what I would encourage people to do is that these discussions are ongoing, right? And they're ongoing, you know, with the TSC team as well as with the PTL. So the next time we have a discussion, I'll make sure that everybody gets invited, so everybody can raise all these good questions in the larger forum, so everybody is aware of what people are thinking, right, in terms of implementing this proposal.
Yeah.
My goal is to make sure I don't mind, you know, having smaller discussions and have people asking questions in terms of understanding what is the intent, if you will, the spirit of the proposal. But the details, the gory details, we need to make sure that they're asked in the larger audience, so everybody's voice is heard and the comments are collected and included in the final proposal.
Sure, absolutely. And I think the thing is, you know, perhaps one of our largest meetings in the community is the TSC, but because it's the largest thing, it's always stuffed with half of it is just release, you know, discussion about the release, the current release status. And then there's like 5 minutes left for any other thing. So that's why we have, you know, that's why the purpose of these one-off calls is to allow people, like, I think I have a much better understanding of this proposal than I ever did before. And hopefully the other people on the call feel the same way. I think another thing too, just listening to this whole thing or talking about this whole thing, I think we need to really clearly define the terms, right? So, you know, we can't just use release independent, you know, interchangeably with drop, or define. You have to really carefully, I think, in this proposal, define your terms very well. And I would suggest, you know, calling some, you know, when you use the term release, everybody has in their mind a whole set of semantical meaning behind that. I think if you use drop, that might be something different. And also, I think when we talk about deliverables and things, those are also different as well. Maybe from sort of what Scott was saying, maybe we need some term for that, what I just called, you know, like the minimum viable deliverable, that unit chunk of delivery that you talked about during the call, that you've decomposed your bigger use case into these sort of unit deliverable chunks. You need to give that some kind of term so that whatever term you use, you know, give that a lot of thought, because moving forward, that'll become ingrained in our culture, right? So, you know, come up with something that's succinct and that's good and that really captures what you want. Like drop is a really good term for that sort of mini release.
And that's what we've been using. The takeaway of the, you know, out of this discussion though, right, is critical, right? I'm hoping that the takeaway is for all of you to start thinking about, you know, the next use case, right? And how you would propose the use case in such a way where it can be implemented over multiple releases without, when the components, each and every independent component, if you will, or building block is ready to be deployed, without basically holding up a specific drop just because some of the components are not ready, right? So it's a mindset. It's a different mindset in terms of how you think about sponsoring a use case. In today's environment, when you're sponsoring a use case, you're looking at it from a functional perspective. Tomorrow, the PTL is going to come back and say, well, but I have non-functional features that I want to address. How am I supposed to do that? Right? And that has to be taken into account as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a great idea. And I think everybody is in all agreement that this is a good thing to do. We're all just sort of curious when it'll happen. How do we do it? How do we move forward? And it's certainly a huge change in mindset, I think, as well, from what we've done. The other thing, just one, you know, other thought too, is if I look at, there's a lot of use cases that have already are underway that have been gone, that have started years ago. Plug and play is just one of many examples, but we have sort of 14 major use cases, and only like one of them were more recent, right? Most of them have spanned multiple releases, actually. Yeah. So I think you also have to give some thought to, you know, for a use case that's already mostly done and release after release now is incrementally being improved. There's some guidance of, okay, when you're starting a major use case, think about it in how to decompose it in these units and these deliverable chunks. But also, I think some thought has to be given to how to interact with people and people working use cases of things that are already deeply underway. And what's happening, I see, is that there's sort of incremental improvements, or what Ala is calling requirements, to be added to, you know, existing major use cases. So I don't know if that affects how we do things, but I think that's I think the state of the union.
It's something that we need to consider, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, we are starting to reach the end of our time. Did you go through everything you wanted to go through? I don't know if you got through all this whole page.
I'm okay. I mean, I'll let you guys read through it, and if you have any questions,
okay. And
I just want to give you, I just want to give you an insight into our thinking when we started looking into it.
Right. And is there a regular, if somebody's interested more, is there like a regular call that somebody could join if they want to?
Okay. No, we don't have a regular call. We stopped these calls a long time ago. We have some calls to basically socialize the proposal, and then to give people an opportunity to ask questions similar to this one. I'll make sure as soon as I see something coming through, I'll make sure I'll pass it on to you guys in case you're not on the distribution call and the distro list.
Okay. All right. Great.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right. Any last final thoughts or questions from anybody for Chucker? Okay, if not, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Chucker.
It was helpful.
It was really excellent. Thanks a lot. Okay, and I'll point other people to this recording too. Bye. Great, thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Ray.